just living my life, saying yes, and trying new experiences is the type of energy I'm on now and forever. Episode 28.
28, bro.
Season finale.
Season finale.
We out ya.
Season 4.
Yeah.
We back.
We back.
And we back.
We took some time off. We're back.
The time off. Holidays are a busy time, man.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know if you felt it at all, but as I get later into my adult years, find that like things get there's a lot more to plan around than when we were kids, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes me appreciate all the work that like our parents did, our friends did, our family does. Hopefully, if you're in that situation around this time of year, because I feel it, a busy time. But
did Christmas hit the same,
bro?
I'm seeing like people tweet about that. They're like, Christmas doesn't hit the same as when I was younger. But I'm like, yeah, because you're a kid and you didn't have to plan anything and you just showed up and grabbed gifts.
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? Like, now you have to buy the gifts, you got to wrap them, you got to go to different homes.
Yeah,
and all that.
You got to do all that kind
it's
of
a little
stuff.
Different, you know?
Yeah, of course it's different because like the magic of Christmas when you're a kid is like opening presents and Santa Claus and all those like holiday stuff here.
Yeah, all that bullshit. I'm
all that all that bull jive.
Yeah.
But when you're older, for me, my perspective is just being able to spend time with family and friends, seeing people that you don't always get to see.
Of course, yeah.
Making memories in any way that you know how. Like, that's what I feel about Christmas nowadays. And, this time of year. It's more just about spending time and just having fun, relaxing. Or trying to relax, at least.
Because
things can get pretty busy.
All right, so how'd you spend your holidays?
Man, it was crazy. Last week and a half has certainly been a bit of a whirlwind. I celebrated my 2-year anniversary with my girlfriend. Jeez. You know, thank you very much, everybody listening to this one, especially those who are watching live.
Of course.
Did a couple days in Prince Edward County. Dope. You know, went to a couple different wineries, went to a whiskey distillery, went out for dinner. Cool. You know, had to do it right. And then drove to Ottawa, saw my family. Worked from Ottawa for the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Just did Christmas there. At least did the way that we did it, because we have multiple families that we had to plan around.
Right.
Like everything shifted back a day for my family. So like what we would normally celebrate Christmas, like Christmas Eve, do like a dinner on Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas, we would spend time together, open presents and shit as a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's kind of like, because I have to have other things to plan around.
Yeah.
We basically shifted it. So like my Christmas Eve was technically like the 23rd. Like the Christmas Day was like the 24th, and then on Christmas we drove back to Toronto, went to Oakville, spent time with her brother's fiance's family, family, and then after that we went to Burlington, spent a couple days in Burlington.
Jeez.
You know,
got the miles on the car on that one, man.
Yeah, mileage is pretty intense. But it was a great Christmas, a lot of family time. But happy to be back home, settling in, and just enjoying a couple more days before I got to get back to work. How about
back
you?
Back to work. I rate it. Yeah. So for me, the 24th, I spent with my homie, Tommy. We went to the AGO.
That's sick.
Little art date, you know. We both, like our families celebrate Christmas, but it was never really the whole 24th and 25th and, this whole kind of operation. So we're just like, yo, you want to just, like, chill
on the
24th? Why not? 25th, I visited my uncle and my aunt out in Hamilton. It's the only time I go to Hamilton, pretty much.
Damn. But
that was a vibe, man. Everyone was there. All of their kids are there. All my cousins. My cousin's baby that I brought up on the podcast. He was the star of the show.
Let's go.
And it's funny, I'm actually not the youngest in the room anymore.
There it is.
By 27 years. There's just never been someone younger than me at that home. And now there finally is.
Finally.
And it just dawned on me. I'm like, I was the youngest by 20. What?
Dude, what's crazy is that, I've been kind of in that position with my family for the first, 15 years of my life. But now that I'm a bit older, I'm, in the perfect
in-between.
Sure. So it's, there's a new generation of, young cousins that I have.
Yeah.
And then there's, everyone older than me. And I'm just sitting in the middle, come on now.
What's going on here?
What do I get? But
yeah. Just on that side of the family, though. On my mom's side, there's definitely, it's not as crazy the age difference,
Totally.
But it just dawned on me. I'm like, wow, okay.
Man, it's crazy. Year's almost done.
Like, yeah, you know, man, we got a couple more days, and we told y'all we'd be back before the end of the year. Like, so hopefully you didn't doubt us on that one. You know,
never doubt us.
never doubt the Mad Mix.
Never doubt it, bro.
But yeah, I've been chilling, working, starting a new job next week. We can get into that.
Congratulations. Yeah, let's talk about that later.
You know, but so I'm just like, let me just enjoy this lazy time where I can stay up till 3 a.m. playing video games and all that.
Dude,
when work hits, I gotta be in the zone.
You're gonna be a busy guy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I love about, like, you know, there's all these memes about, you know, the time between Christmas and New Year's. Yeah. I'm taking full. I have no idea. It's a Thursday, I think, we're recording this. But what I really love is that, like, I feel no pressure to do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Like, when I got back from Burlington, I was like, you know what? I'm going to spend the entire day playing video games.
Why not?
And I did it. I spent all last night playing video games. And I'm just like, but like, you know, being productive, clean up around the house, like going to the gym and stuff like that. Just like that kind of stuff. Like, you have the general basic maintenance.
Yeah.
But like,
there's no pressure
to do anything. I'm like, this is the time where
I'm learning a new skill and all that.
Yeah. Decompress, you know, just enjoy the time off and, you know, just head back into the new year rested and I'm ready to go here.
Let's get it, man.
But dude, there's a lot we got to get through in this episode here.
Yeah.
But in typical fashion, what we've done in the last couple of years is talked about the year that was. Do a bit of a recap on every big moment that happened throughout the year.
Or the notable ones,
Yeah, we have a couple on here, but why don't you kick us off with, like, a couple here.
A few that came to mind. So I was, like, working on the outline for the episode yesterday, and I'm like, what big moments happened?
Like, what happened this
year? What the hell happened? Because when you're at the end of the year, it's so hard to remember. You have that recency bias as well. You're just thinking of,
like, what happened last month,
you know? Yeah. But what came to mind instantly before I even started, like, Googling was the Will Smith, Chris Rock, Oscar slap.
Yeah. Right?
I don't even remember what month that was. Probably summer-ish when the Oscars happened. I can't even remember, right? Time is a vacuum. But wasn't that just insane?
That was nuts.
It was one of the biggest things of the year, probably. Like, after looking it up, it's on every article. It's like the top moment of 2022.
Yeah.
When Chris Rock got his... slapped out of him, bro.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he made a joke or something after that too.
Yeah, I went to his show actually a couple months later, and he was just like, he talked about it a bit, but he was like, I'm not gonna do a whole show on this, by the way. I've already written my material.
Yeah.
So if you're coming here just for that, you can leave. And I'm like, but yeah, he handled it as well as you probably could have, you know. If it was like an all-out brawl, that would have been absolutely insane.
That would have been crazy.
What's interesting, though, like, before we can get into the other stuff, but, like, history could have been written completely differently if Will Smith had won that award and then talked down on Chris Rock for talking down on his wife. Like, imagine he didn't slap Chris Rock. He wins the biggest award of the night, and then he calls out Chris Rock publicly. The whole narrative would change. Will Smith would be the biggest guy in the world, and that would be trending, defending your girl the right way and all of that.
Yeah.
Slight change in direction, you know, and now he's banned from the Oscars and no one's watching this new movies and all of this shit because of like a 10-second mistake.
Yeah, you know? In the way that I see it, it's like not that big a deal. Like, it's like, listen.
What he did?
Well, I mean, it's super inappropriate, but like... That's something that, like, you just handle between two guys.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the slap itself is not a big of a deal. It's, like, when and where you did it.
Yeah.
You know? But we've already covered all this shit, so.
Interesting.
Very interesting. What do you got?
This is, like, the big craze. This is what's got so many people, so many boomers worked up. And it's the concept of quiet quitting. You know what I mean? And you know what? I actually got into, like, not a debate, but I saw something posted on LinkedIn. It was Angus who posted it.
Shout out
to Angus, man. I'll say it first and foremost. Angus is a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, taught me a lot when I first started working in the industry.
You were his apprentice.
I was his apprentice. I'm not going to make this whole story where he was like my...
Angus is a former boss.
CCO, John Street, partner John Street. You know, one of the best in the industry, without a doubt. I saw him post something on about quiet quitting on LinkedIn or something one time.
Okay.
And, like, it was, like, this guy explaining it, like, being, like, this thing where, like, you know, why quiet quitting is a bad thing, and like why people who like people
Angus want was saying that.
No, he reposted it.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it was about this guy. He was like making up this whole thing where it's like people who take opportunities on are the ones who are like going to get ahead of themselves and their career, all that kind of stuff. I'm like,
I've seen a few of those.
Yeah. And it's like as if like it totally minimizes the actual issue itself. In my perspective, so I commented back on it. And I was like, here's what I think. This is, I totally see it. I think this is a very like boomer sided view of this, and respectfully, that, of course, because it's all what people think it is. It's just like people, you know, I don't want to work, but I want money and I want opportunities. So like, I'm going to do the bare minimum here. I don't think it's that. My take on it is that like, people who are like good at their jobs are exhausted, especially in the last couple of years of like putting in more effort and not really getting much in return. And you know, in the simplest form possible, I think quiet quitting is just a reflection of like, and the notion of, you know, why am I putting in additional effort for very little return?
Yeah, poor
where
treatment.
I can like, where I can go somewhere else to like help me achieve like a better work life balance that allows me to like still, you know, maintain a job that challenges me and that I want opportunities at, but also allows me the freedom to be able to like have my own life and not make work about everything, which we can get into in a sec.
Definitely.
So that was like a more recent post that was made on LinkedIn, and you know, it got a little bit of traction, at least in my mind, to think about what that means and how people perceive it, which is really interesting because he challenged me back and like, you know, I saw it. I was like, yeah, I see that point of view. I think like we're fundamentally just disagreeing on this.
And he might be looking at it from the stance of a former
owner of an agency.
Chief creative officer, yeah. Owner
totally.
Of an agency.
So it's like you're obviously going to have like a different perspective, a more experienced perspective at that.
Yeah. But you then know? Also like what benefits you the most is if your coordinator is working as hard as intensely possible and wants the company to succeed as much as you want it to succeed. Totally. Even though you're actually earning the profits from the company and the coordinator is not, right? But you want everyone to have the same passion that you do, even though you're directly affected by the company's performance.
Totally.
You know, so
totally.
Obviously a boss is going to want everyone to just work tirelessly and
there's a human element as well.
There's a human
and it's
element.
Not necessarily to say him specifically guy who's like, oh yeah, millennials suck. You guys are all idiots. Like, I think you have a very fair perspective on it.
Right.
I just found like the video more itself was the one that I challenged a little bit.
Sure. But that was insane how that just like took over. Quiet quitting. Because it's not a new concept. People have been doing that. I think they just kind of marketed it and labeled it a certain way. And that created a lot of the controversy or a divide. Even just putting the word quitting in there probably wasn't the best because the whole concept of it is not that you're quitting. The concept is that you're not going over the top. You're not doing what you're not paid to be. Like, you're doing what's in the job description.
Exactly.
You can still keep your job, but, you know, you're flying under the radar is kind of the way the approach is. But
absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see. This is the start of, like, a new generation of people.
Different demands, different expectations.
But first and foremost, though, just to clear things up, like if you're coming into the industry and thinking that like everything needs to be handed towards you or like, you know, you deserve to get paid for this before like not actually like putting in the work to like make it seem like you want better opportunities, you have the capacity to be able to balance all that kind of stuff. And like,
yeah,
if you're new to this shit, like just check yourself at the door because like, there's a lot of hardworking people out there who like deserve opportunities, deserve, you know, equity with their pay, you know, equity with opportunity, all that kind of stuff. So if you think you're just going to get handed something, nah.
Quiet quitting comes with a price, right? Like if you're going to quiet quit and there's someone that's putting in the extra work, who do you think is going to get promoted, you know?
Over the other person?
So you got to realize what you're doing, when you're doing it, what type of jobs you're doing it. You know,
I think it's a very macro level concept, but I think a lot of people are looking at it a very, very small specific way.
Yeah.
That I think is challenging, but that's quiet quitting, man. Like that's a very interesting concept that we're going to see probably evolve and, you know, probably shape some of the, you know, the way that we hire people or anything like that. But let's keep moving, man.
Definitely. We had Elon Musk, Twitter drama. I feel like we've talked about it so recently that we don't really need to get into it too much, but you know, in May he announced he was acquiring Twitter. It took some months for it to happen. Then he gets on Twitter, he owns it, and he fires a bunch of people, changes the platform. Yeah. People think Twitter is going to die. It's just been a whole, like, fiasco, you know, it's a like series of events.
And definition of somebody coming in. It's like, hey, everything's here is pretty decent. Everything's pretty, remember when we were talking, I think at the beginning of the year, we were talking about the fact it's like, oh, dude, like, Twitter's releasing stories as part of their thing now. Like, that's so stupid. Yeah, Looking at that now, I'm like,
bring them back.
Bring them back if this is how this is going to be, man. Like, this is the definition of, like, someone coming in with their own ego and their own intention and, like, own emotions coming in and saying, I'm going to change everything in a way that I think suits me, but, like, isn't thinking about, like, how it affects people who use the platform. Yeah, and now it's like, all right, you have, like, probably thousands and thousands of businesses that are like, well, should we continue to market on this platform and give it money?
Straight up, I don't know. Yeah,
why would you put yourself in a position to do that? So, Elon Musk, you know,
see what happens.
Come on, broski.
See what happens come there. On,
man. Man, I want to talk about where we started the year because I think that, like, this was like an awesome opportunity for us. So we started our first episode in March this year, which is a little bit later than we would normally do it, but we wanted to wait for the right opportunity. But the good folks over at Cassette, shout outs to some of the old folks that I used to work with, invited Dak and I to do a kind of a Black History Month. A panel, but like a recorded episode.
Is that our first episode
that
of
was,
the year?
That was our first episode
nice. Of the year. Nice. That was a good way to start. You know,
we started hot with a good opportunity to talk about, you know, experience. Black History Month, which I mean, it's not in March. It's in February. I just need to correct myself really quickly.
But I think we released the episode in
March. I think we released it, March 1st or something. But that was a lot of fun. We started the year by having a very productive conversation on, you know, our experiences as young Black guys in marketing, advertising tech industries.
We were literally just having a conversation. That's all it was. We had a few prompts. We were having a conversation. There was an audience of over 100 people just, like, watching and listening and asking questions at the end. And all we can do is speak on our experience, right? We can't speak for every Black advertising professional. I can only speak on my experience. You can speak on yours, and I can speak on maybe a couple friends I had in the industry. That's it.
Absolutely.
And it was just an authentic view of, like, discrimination and, you know,
lack
judgment.
Lack of opportunities.
Stuff like that.
Lack of pay.
Yeah.
A lot of problems that, you know, still exist very much. Like, not, like, still exist as if, like, we assumed they were going away.
No.
But still exist, like, still in the sense of, like, these are living, breathing problems that exist in your agency today.
Yeah.
Whoever is listening to this and you own an agency, this is happening where you work, whether you like it or not.
And happening across different industries too, right? Like, this is not, you know, solely an advertising agency problem, right? In tech, this is the same thing. In marketing and blah, and all these different industries. Like, I've had friends reach out and they have those same experiences. But that was, it was a very interesting way to start the year. And it just gave us a lot of momentum, me at least, to, like, oh, people are paying us to speak, you know, about these topics that are just authentic to us. Like, there's some weight in here, man. Like, people give a fuck about what we have to say.
Yeah.
And it was like that added legs to eventually get to the 100th episode event that we're going to talk about and all of that.
100%.
The confidence, you know? But
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was great. And again, shout out to the folks at Cassette for having us. Hopefully you bring us back around too.
Hey, that'd be dope. Price went up.
Daniel Shearer, if you're listening to this, you know who to call.
Yes, sir. Before we get to the 100th episode event, I also want to add in Wordle and, like, Be Real, like, as crazes that took over during their time, at least. Like, Wordle, start of the year, everyone was just doing it. The simple, game that I actually still play every day, low key. Simple word puzzle that everyone just started playing. Be Real, that new social app that, you know, Instagram is now copying the feature.
Yeah, TikTok's doing it too.
TikTok's doing it as well. The idea of, like, posting what you're doing right at the moment, you know, being real and being authentic.
Yeah.
And I know you hate all that shit.
Dude, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something I'm looking at being like, oh yeah, like this makes sense.
Got
to
my
me.
Be Real notification.
Yeah, it's like, isn't that just like an Instagram story?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's just forcing you when to post it.
Yeah, I guess. Like, but anyways, man, I'm not gonna hate on it because like I've noticed my trend in social media, behaviors and technology, that kind of stuff. Where like it's the same thing with Instagram, same thing with Facebook, same thing with Instagram, same thing with Twitter, TikTok. You didn't get
that first?
I didn't get it. I'm like, I don't understand this. This is dumb. Like, I don't like this. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I get it. I'm like, oh, it's actually the shit.
Yeah.
So like, I did that with TikTok.
I can't really see you using BeReal. I can't. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe you'll come around.
Yeah, because I don't. To be honest, like, I don't really post that much. On anything, I just consume. So it's like, if it's more just like pictures of my friends or people that I already know, then like, probably not likely to use it. But no disrespect to people who do.
Yeah. Yeah. And this time last year, we were talking about Clubhouse. Wasn't Clubhouse 2021?
Oh, yeah. It might have been Clubhouse.
It might have been Clubhouse, where that was like the craze of that year.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was 20. I don't even know. It's all at a blur point, at this point. But
it was, I think Clubhouse came out like early 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, too. And it's still around.
Yeah.
Like 21 Savage is there like every weekend. I'm like, what are you like?
What?
Yeah. He's there often.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's very hilarious. Let's move past that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with BeReal next year, or what other social app takes over. You know, our 100th episode event,
highlight of the year,
straight up, bro, straight up, easily for me. Like 4 months ago or whatnot, that was up, man. That was
it was crazy,
a dope ass time. We celebrated 100 episodes. We did a live podcast event, our first like. Video experience, you know, we had shout to Jerome come in, film the whole thing, take photos. We had prizes that we could give away. We just had a celebration, food, drinks. I was elated, bro. Like, that was fun, man.
Yeah. And like, at the end of the day, it was like a really great learning experience. Of course. To like, figure out like what goes into those types of things.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Alyssa.
I was just about to say,
who like helped organize so much of that stuff and like let us think about it. She's in what, Cambodia or something man. Shout out to Alyssa. Appreciate you. Made our 100th episode awesome. Man, I was like, I can't even like speak on it.
It was just so exciting. I love that it was captured so well, so I can always just go back. And like watch those recap videos and all that.
We have a reference, man. And shout outs to everyone who like came to that, participated, supported us,
donated.
Even if you couldn't make it, still donated. Like, I appreciate that, man. Like that goes a long way with us. So
100%. And next year we're gonna do something big as well. Like
we gotta grind hard to get to 200 fast.
Oh, you know what I mean? Shit! Imagine two episodes per week.
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
Oh, that'd be insane. So that kind of goes into like. Probably favorite moments of the year.
Yeah.
In terms of like accomplishments or like personal learning, development, anything like that that you want to kind of speak on?
Man, like,
what'd you learn about yourself?
I learned a lot this year. Because this was, as much as like last year was like back to normal, kind of.
Yeah.
This year was like the first real, this feels like we're back to normal.
We're
entirely.
Out,
yeah. We're totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One thing that I really recognized, like, last year was a very stressful year for me. It was really hard because I was adjusting to a new job.
Yeah.
I was adjusting to, like, you know, going back and, you know, in-person things. I moved back to the city. Lots to think about. A lot of overwhelming pieces to last year that made it very difficult mentally and physically for me.
Yeah.
But one thing that really stood out to me is, like, one, like, the importance of like completely disconnecting and like traveling or like, you know, getting your own space somewhere.
Yeah.
The moment where I kind of like reset myself this year and it was like started, you know, myself on an upward trajectory was when I went to Jamaica in March.
Yeah.
Because like the last little bit of last year was very difficult. I got sick with COVID. I couldn't see my family for Christmas. And then coming out of that, once I was able to go back outside, everything shut back down again. And that was the first time that I felt like I felt like I was in an iron dome. That's where I felt like I had no room to like move around. And like, that's where I started to get stressed out. Work was extremely busy and I didn't really have an outlet. So my girlfriend and I were like, you know what? We need a break. We need to like go somewhere. So, and it was also like one of our first big trips that we took together, which helped a lot.
Vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Straight up. we went to Jamaica, and like I remember the moment where I completely disconnected and was like, I was like, we got there, it was like 6 o'clock at night, we're just about to go for dinner, mm-hmm. sitting on the beach with a drink, sun was setting, yeah, beautiful weather. And like I remember just like looking up at the sky and just being like, okay, everything that I knew about all my problems and stress from back home are completely dissolved. Yeah. I'm just going to enjoy this.
Enjoy the moment.
So it made me feel like I have a new appreciation for like what traveling can do. And I understand that traveling is a privilege that I am very, very lucky that I'm able to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Freely as much as I can. And if you're able to, definitely do it. And like learn how to disconnect and like create your own space.
Yeah. I love that, man. That's think sick.
It's professional maturity is what I've called it.
Nice.
Okay. Which yeah. I think is like a concept that I'm kind of leaning into of like, you know what? Like I'm good at my job. I know how to do my job. It can be overwhelming at times, but it's really important to remember that like this is your work is just a man-made construct. Yeah. Our industry is a man-made construct.
It's bigger than that.
That's, you know,
your life is bigger than that.
Your life is bigger than that. And I found like this year I did so much traveling between, you know, I went to Jamaica, I went to Atlanta, I went to, you know, Nova Scotia and Halifax, I went to New York twice, like,
yes, sir.
You know, yeah. You know, I've been traveling back and forth, like, in Ottawa, Niagara, you know, all this kind of stuff, and made me realize, I'm like, man, like, there's so many cool things out there for people to see and experience that, you know, I think is really important to, it's really important to get there.
And prioritize that for sure.
Absolutely. Definitely prioritize.
That's huge, man. Professional maturity. I like that.
Yeah.
It's like a label or a term.
You know, because a lot of people come in, not to cut you off, like so many people, and I was one of these people where I came into the industry, I wanted to make everything about work and like make my entire life around work and all that kind of stuff. In the last couple of years, especially during COVID, I've tried to like release some of that and detach it. I think like work's a big part of like how I find importance in like my value and what I'm able to do and what type of person that I am. But it's not, I'm learning how to like be like, you know, what else can I do to help make my life more meaningful and spend time with people that, you know, I want to spend time with and all that kind of stuff. So that's the part that I've really kind of like learned and accomplished myself personally. It's a long journey. I got a long way to
go. Straight up, man. But yeah, of course.
This is,
you're enjoying it along the way, right? Yeah,
absolutely. How
like,
about you?
I think for me, it's prioritizing happiness and like forming new connections and new experiences, you know, like that stuff should never end. And I've just been genuinely like, sure, there's some low moments here and there, but I've been happy like all year.
That's awesome.
It's like, I realized in the beginning of the year, I was like, we were still in the lockdown, was feeling a little bit just like, I'm in my tiny condo, just not depressed, but you're seeing the same thing every day, right? So I went to Tulum for 4 days and I just went on my own and happened to have a friend out there that introduced me to all these other connections, and I just said yes to everything.
Yeah.
And I met these amazing people that introduced me to other people and other experiences, and I came back just like with this new outlook of like, say yes, and like if you don't ask, the answer is no. Like, why not just try different things, create new memories and things like that. And I came back, started going to the boxing gym because that's something I always wanted to do but never did it because I created excuses, right?
Yeah.
But I go there, I meet the trainers, they're friends of mine now, and I'm meeting other people, and it feels like a nice home of just like I go there and I know all these people and we're just working out together, and it's a new skill. And prioritizing that happiness, forming those connections, and saying yes as much as possible. Like, almost doing things for just to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a controlled setting, obviously, for right? Sure. But go with the flow. Like, if you have the privilege to do so, go with the flow as much as you possibly can.
Like, take calculated risks.
Calculated risks, 100%. Extending that to, like, going to London with four other guys, right? And a lot of them we kind of just met recently, and I was just like, you want to come with us? They said yes, and we went with them, and we had the best fucking time ever.
Yeah,
and we still, we have like our group chat, we still bring up that trip constantly. I still look back at like, that was like a defining moment for like my growth and a lot of these friendships, right? So I think this year, you know, the staple of it has really just been prioritizing happiness, forming connections, and saying yes as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's really funny.
It's been fucking dope.
Not to like derail anything, but yeah, I think like so much of this podcast has been so focused on like our industry and work.
Yeah, yeah.
And here are things that need to be focused into better and whatnot. But like, I feel like we've evolved to be like, yo, there's so much more out there. And I think that's the value that we can provide to people. It's like, listen, like from a black person's perspective, like you're going to get worn down in the workplace for sure.
Yeah.
And like when you prioritize like a lot of like work stuff and, you know, your career and all that, like, yeah, that's important. But I also think it's like very valuable to realize that like, hey, you can create space for yourself to like, because no one else is going to do that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to make decisions, say, I want to go on this trip. I want to disconnect from work. I'm entitled to my vacation time.
Of course.
I'm entitled to take a break.
Use
that shit.
Use
and I remind myself every day, and I feel like I need to take that shit every single day.
Use your benefits. Get your massages. Yeah. Been getting them every month. Listen, you know? Prioritize your happiness. Prioritize your health and your well-being
big time,
you know?
Big time. 100%. That's professional maturity.
Straight. Yeah, I guess that's a good way to kind of put it, right?
You know?
Professional maturity.
We're transitioning out of, like, this phase where, like, well, don't get me wrong. We're still, like, working our asses off.
Yeah,
like, we're still, like, top-tier talent to, like, a lot of places,
right?
Like, if we go anywhere that we want to, and this isn't supposed to sound cocky, but, like, I just know that,
you got
to
know what your place is.
I know
what
we can accomplish.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that it's important for us as we're transitioning into this new phase of, like, our careers in life that, you know, we realize that there's more that we should be able to prioritize and be, like, accustomed to than just the workplace. I think 100%. That's an important lesson for anybody who's like younger listening to this, who's like just starting out.
Yeah, find different hobbies, find different skills outside of your 9-to-5, right?
Learn, meet different people.
Meet different people, 100%. Yeah, that's what this year has been, is meeting so many dope people, man. Nice. Dope people, dope connections. And what I've loved about like last year, I don't think I was on TikTok at all. You know, I wasn't at all. This year, I've been just making so many, like, recap videos.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it. Like, I'm doing a full 2022 kind of recap video. And I was stitching it together last night. And I'm just smiling at all these moments that I'm adding. And I like that it's just, like, a library of, like, moments that is, like, online, you know. But, yeah, I'm getting into my content-heavy bag now.
Yeah. Content creator.
Not yet.
Let's move on to the next section of this.
Let's do it.
Season finale. This is kind of like a rapid fire.
Yeah, let's do that.
You know, a little bit before we get into some other stuff. But what we want to talk about now is like what kind of stood out. What was our favorite stuff? So I'm going to like rhyme off something over to you.
Yeah.
You'll ask me the same question back.
All right, bet.
But we'll list out a couple things because we want to keep a positive vibe going for this podcast.
We are only ever positive, Malik.
Yeah,
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
What was your favorite album of the year?
Ooh.
There weren't many from my perspective.
Yo. Oh, my God. Wasteland by Brent Faiyaz. Ramona's Park Broke My Heart by Vince Staples, and Her Loss, bro. Oh, man, I still bump that shit. And it's funny because like I don't think it's the best album of the year, but I'm like, there's a reason I keep going to this, and it's a fun album for me. So like, it's got to be in my top, I think, for sure. Yeah, what about you?
I didn't think about this before I
started. I'm going by my like Spotify rap type of...
Yeah, seriously. To be honest, I don't know if there's like one specific album. I'd say the Metro Boomin album was very good.
Up there, yeah.
Definitely up there for me.
Turned into a super.
But human. I didn't really listen to like a lot of like straight albums this year. I will say that what I kind of talked about in the last episode was this year for me was a big focus on expanding my horizons with, you know, more international music, like a lot of like Afropop. A lot of, you know, Hispanic music.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Latino music. Like
Afrobeat
Afrobeats, all that kind of stuff. Like, I've tried to listen to a lot more of that kind of stuff, which I absolutely fuck with. And, you know, that's a big part of how I'm trying to expand my mind. But I'd say not necessarily a favorite album, but, like, an expansion of the genres that I listen to.
I like that.
In place.
Favorite TV shows, because I know you love to watch TV.
Oh, man, TV shows. You know what? It's not one that came out this year, but I will say probably the TV show that I watched the most If Jill's listening to this, she's going to laugh. It's probably Hell's Kitchen.
Man.
I've been watching that. I'm not much of like a new TV guy.
Hell's Kitchen.
I don't really watch like newer TV shows, but I will say that's probably the one. Show, that's man. Probably the one that I watch the most. I love Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay is one of my idols.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
I'm going Insecure. I'm going with Insecure. Let me just give one answer. I'll go with Insecure because they wrapped up five seasons, I want to say. They had their series finale. Beautiful moment. I'm on Twitter. Everyone's talking about Insecure every time there's an episode dropping. Issa Rae is my crush. Like, I will do anything for Issa Rae. And if she's listening.
I don't
listening,
know who that is.
You know, oh, you don't know who that I is? No I'll put you on. I'll put is. You on. Amazing show, though. It just showcases, like, black life in the most authentic and just natural way. There's no crazy stereotypes. No one has all this trauma that they typically like to throw on black TV shows, quote unquote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is just real life, 20 something, early 30 black people living in LA. And I'm just like, I love this shit.
That's dope. You because know? I do feel like our entire industry is based off of like, you know, it's all just bullshit. It's yeah. all like, it's like white TV, white entertainment written by white people
yeah.
or white audiences that feature black people. Like, I'm just yeah. like, there's no like real like.
Or the shows that are primarily black are focused on like drug dealing.
All that kind of stuff.
And it's those like, stories need to be told as well. Sure, there's a space for that. But I want to see, let's just be boring like, sometimes. Let's
yeah,
just be
normal, regular. Like, let's normal, just be normal life, man. Like, give us know? Normal life.
Yeah, so that was my favorite TV show, I would say. Honorable mention is Atlanta. They also wrapped up their like series finale. Shout out to Donald Glover. But let's move on. Favorite movie?
Oh, man. This is tough. You go first.
I just watched Black Panther 2 yesterday, funny enough. I was getting a lot of heat for not watching it. Amazing movie. Great, great movie. I don't know if it's my favorite of the year. I'm going to go with Black Adam. I'm joking. That shit was horrible with The Rock. I'm going to go with Black Panther because I can't think of previous movies, really. I haven't watched too many great movies this year.
Yeah. I'll be honest, like,
You can't even think.
I think I've watched one movie this year, and I didn't like,
like
it.
Like, new movie.
Yeah, I saw it at TIFF.
Okay.
But I didn't like it that much.
Then, yeah.
It was, like, it was just all right.
Nah. So, nothing.
Nothing.
Favorite destination?
Is a tough one.
Yeah, you went to a few places, man.
I will say, probably my favorite location, destination for this year, Jamaica was really good.
Yeah.
But I also have to say, Jamaica was nice because, like, the first trip that I took with my girlfriend, and that was an awesome experience. On the flip side, too, I want to say Atlanta was probably my, like, number
yeah,
two on
that.
The list.
I can see that.
Atlanta was really dope because it was my first, like, real, like, work trip. It was, like, basically summertime when we got there. I got to know a bunch of guys that, like, I never really worked with or knew before. Created some, like, good experiences, some great bonding. That was awesome. To be honest, like, Halifax was fire, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a great time out there.
Standouts,
celebrating
yeah.
my buddy's wedding. Everything was good. It's hard for me to pick one because each trip was amazing. How about you?
Yeah, if I have to pick one, I'm going to say Lisbon, Portugal. That was just crazy, crazy vibe, man. Just the epitome of just saying yes to everything and just going.
And just getting it
going
done.
With the flow. Obviously, London was amazing with the Mandem, right? But I think I'm going to go with Lisbon or London. Favorite meme.
Oh, man. This one's
hard. I should have, like, thought about it before, but
favorite meme is top.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. Like, it's not necessarily, like, a meme, but it's, like, a format, I would say.
Yeah, like what?
So, like, on TikTok, you know how there's all those, like, dances and shit like that?
Here we go.
There was, like, so a lot of people have been putting, like, hip-hop beats over, like a dance scene in a movie or something like that. Like, the latest one that I've seen is like this, like, it's like Matilda the musical or whatever.
Oh God, what?
And like, it's like this, like, this whole, like, it's a choreographed movie, right? Like, it's a musical, but like someone on TikTok put like this, like, hip hop beat over it, like a hard track over like this one, like, dance scene in the movie.
Yeah.
And it was fucking hilarious. So, like, I would say, like,
Oh, you gotta send me that.
I think I did. I think I might have.
True.
But like the idea of like putting like a hard ass hip hop beat over like something that like is not meant to be like hard like that, I'd say is hilarious.
Okay, yeah. That's dope. It kind of reminds me of the Metro Boomin like superhero beat, like they're. But that one's a little different because they're putting on like motivational speeches.
Yeah.
But it goes hard.
It goes hard, man.
This one's so dumb, but like this is actually so corny. But like, he's a 10, or she's a 10.
Yeah.
That shit made me laugh so much. That's a funny meme.
Another good one is like Drake, the type of dude to do whatever. Like,
those this are
is
the year that,
like,
man.
Yeah, Drake, the Drake memes this year were very, very good.
Yeah. Nah, there's been, or like the RIP Queen Lizzie memes.
Oh, man.
We won't even get into all that, but those are good. Oh, man. It's been a good year, man.
It's been funny a
funny year. Yeah, there's so much. I'm like trying to like look up stuff, but. Favorite bear memes.
It's hard to pick one. Man.
It's hard to pick one.
Okay, so last one here. Favorite app, campaign, product.
That's a tough one. I don't even know. Like, did I use a new app this year that was like groundbreaking or like that changed my life? Probably not. I did try Be Real for a bit, and it was cool.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go with TikTok because this is the year that I started using TikTok.
Yeah.
And it's consumed a lot of my time.
I'll probably say the same thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the search engine, it's been a time.
The only thing, like, because, like, I use TikTok a lot, like, probably the most out of everything. Because, like, one, it's just, like, easy content. Yeah. But two, there's, like, sharing stuff is super easy. Like, if I see something jokes, like, it's literally, like, bang, send it off to somebody. It's simple.
Two clicks, yeah.
The only thing that I don't like about TikTok is that you can't do group chats. I wish you could do group chats where you could, like, send shit.
That's a good product idea.
Because, like, I send, like, the same memes to so many of my friends. And I'm like, it'd just be easy if we had it in one place.
That's a cool idea.
You know?
That's probably coming.
I hope so.
I'd imagine.
Don't add fucking Be Real or anything. Like, take that away and add group chat.
I never click the now thing, man. I'm just like, let's not do that. But
it's going to be a never for me.
Yeah, it's good. Let's end the podcast. Always
good for the one.
End the podcast.
I'm always good for the one.
All right. On the flip side, we wouldn't be the Mad Mix if we didn't do the flip side.
Type of the bad shit.
So, yeah, what stood out in the worst ways?
I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about this one because I feel like this has been something that we constantly bring up. But like this year, like every time that I was doing my homework on one of these podcasts to find out what new topics we should talk about, I always go to like Strategy Online or LinkedIn or find shit that like that pisses me off because typically that's where I find it.
Shout out LinkedIn.
But like there's been a lot of like changes in the agency space, like a lot of like new agencies being formed, a lot of like leadership from agencies starting their own new places. There's been a lot of like this leadership team here went to this new agent or different agency, like a lot of shuffling around.
Yeah.
But all I continue to see are just like white faces and the occasional like token minority in that.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of like DE&I change within the agency space. And it's like all the goals and shit that people set 2 years ago are essentially irrelevant now. Yeah. There's been no real like focus, at least on like storytelling around this is the progress that we made, this is what we're making. Here are like tangible infrastructural changes that we are making in our agency to make it a more inclusive space for everybody.
Yeah.
That to me has just been like totally like falling off. And I understand like I always preach that it's important to like start internal and then go external.
Yeah.
But like I haven't seen if I'm not seeing a lot of stuff. I'm assuming that it's like also not happening.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You could give them the benefit of the doubt and be like, maybe they're doing
maybe
stuff internally.
But no.
Especially when you see these new, almost like Avenger style, like, you know, formations of new teams and
agency formed by like, you know, super team of white executives.
The only diversity in the picture is like white women.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, diversity. Oh, you guys did it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that has been a low light as well as just the removal of DE&I programs. Like, yeah. we've seen it with Twitter, with Elon Musk coming in. You remember the Basecamp CEO? Yeah, Basecamp. Fuck out of here, right? Like, what? Of, like, realizing that people no longer seem to care, you know, on a widespread. It's like, now is the time to, like, get rid of these things, whether publicly or privately. And
totally.
Because the CEO never really cared to start, right?
So absolutely.
That's been really unfortunate to see publicly.
So, absolutely. So, for me, like, it only shows that there's still, like, an incredibly strong, like, demand, I feel, for, like, BIPOC agencies to, like, help start to create more space in the industry. And I think in turn that will kind of like shift the way that our traditional, you know, industry has worked, you know, for a very, very long time. I think that like the moment that like imagine if every like BIPOC like leader in the industry or every BIPOC team like or something together. Like that, like formed together and created like its own agency.
Yeah.
That would be unreal. Like, that would be an agency where we're like, man, I want to fucking go there. And we work on the sickest clients. We do the best shit. Like, people want to be like us but don't know how. Like, I think that is, like, such a gap that exists in the industry right now. And, like, if we created, like a super group of, like, intelligent BIPOC talent that, you know, creates its own space, I promise you that will have a lot of success.
Yeah, it's just there's risk behind it, right? I mean, I'd love to see that happen, and you know, there is always that. I have this comfortable job that pays $400K a year. Do I really want to jump out and start something new with, you know, people that look like me, right? But like, I also need to pay the. I don't know. It's a whole. I would love to see that happen, and we'll see if it does. But there's also the risk factor, right? Of Absolutely. Starting something new and jumping out on your own, but. Another kind of, I don't even know if this is like a low light, but we saw a lot of companies like, I don't want to say the word forcing, but like heavily suggesting that people come back. And you know, to all different degrees, right? Like some are like, come one day a week versus some like Apple or like, y'all need to be in here 5 days a week now. Yeah. Like playtime's over, you know?
Yeah.
So for some people, that's a low light. For some people, they kind of wanted that environment. But I would like, in my ideal world, it's the hybrid flexibility. You know, if you want to come in, by all means, go in. But if you don't want to come in every day, I don't think you should be forced to. If you're able to work and do your job efficiently at home.
If you can do your job efficiently at home.
Yeah.
And get shit done and be like
good at it. Yeah.
There should be no concern about, you know, bringing people into an office. Like a lot of government employees now are being forced to like go back into offices and stuff. And like I was just at home in Ottawa and like my parents were saying that like the rationale from like the people from who are like organizing everything to go back in is to like so that like the local business economy can be like stronger. And I'm like, that's a fucking terrible reason to bring me
interesting
back into like it's like oh well like we want people to go to this Tim Hortons across the street
they'll be commuting so that be
like
spending
so
they'll
spending more money and they're like why are you forcing me to do this I want to buy a home
you're forcing me to spend my money more
exactly like it makes no sense especially for the government where like unless you're where like we've established in the last couple of years that there is no problems with that we need to be like. Totally okay with like letting people just do their own thing at home.
Straight up.
There's no need for us to be this. But anyways, forcing people to go back into an office has been a tricky situation for a lot of places that like are set up to be able to work from home. So it'll be interesting to see how more and more companies adapt to this like, you know, either hybrid model.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another thing to cover before we kind of move on here. We've talked a lot about tech on this podcast. Yeah. We've talked a lot about trends in terms of mixed reality. We've talked about NFTs, cryptocurrency, AI, just like the emergence of like new technology, you can say.
Yeah.
And last year, cryptocurrency was massive.
Yeah.
Everyone was investing. We were talking about Ethereum, Bitcoin, Litecoin, all of that stuff. NFTs, people making millions of dollars on a Bored Ape image.
Yeah.
This year, a little different.
Yeah.
We're starting to see, or we've seen, I should say, and maybe it'll bounce back up, but the crash of a lot of these things. The market is down bad for crypto. Anyone that's invested, you're down bad. There's no way to win right now. You're having a tough time. The interest in NFTs is at an all-time low. It's no longer really trending as much online. Yeah, no one gives a fuck about your Bored Ape.
Yeah.
Web 3, people don't even understand or don't care to understand. A lot of these things, I don't know if it's because we were in lockdown and we had nothing to do, but we're starting to see people don't care as much as we thought last year.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like hasn't really broken through on like a consumer level on a lot of these things.
No, and maybe it will at some point. Like, you know, you have Mark Zuckerberg that rebranded Facebook Inc. as Meta. And his idea is that in the next 10 years, it's going to be the biggest thing ever. So he's taking a gamble from now.
Sure.
Not seeing a lot of success, seeing very low amount of users that actually, you know, in this metaverse and all of that.
But yeah.
It's a 10-year plan. We're in year two. Who knows what's going to happen, right? For me, it's just not interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know, like cryptocurrency, sure, I invested in there. And there's some interest there. But I think in terms of NFTs and metaverse, like I just want, I want to live in the real world. I want to buy real art. I want to see that shit on my actual wall. I don't want to hang out in the cafeteria in the metaverse. I want to hang out in the cafeteria
in the real world.
You know what I mean? I don't want to buy property in the metaverse. I want to buy a fucking condo in real life.
Yeah.
So these are, it's just a disconnect there. But how do you feel about the emerging technology and the trend of all of that stuff?
I think there's a lot of like serviceful, this is like the first step, right?
Yeah.
It's like when a new type of like tech gets into the industry or like a new way of doing things, like it takes a long time for it to like reach the ordinary person.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see that with AI. AI has probably been the most like consumer, regular person friendly piece of tech that like, for example, the like an NFT, like my mom would not be able to understand what an NFT is.
No.
I barely understand what it fucking is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I showed her one of the pictures that you did of like your AI like thing, she'd be like, oh, that's cool. I want to do one of those for me.
Yeah.
Right? That's like a very surface level basic way of like being like, hey, AI is starting to get there. And like, it's things like this where you're like, oh, the technology's been introduced to me in a way that like I kind of get, and like that's crazy and creepy and cool and weird all at the same time.
Or even if you think of like, does your mom or dad have like an Alexa?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the very early entry point into what these can do, right?
Yeah.
Alexa, turn the TV on. It starts there. And then maybe later on it's order it's like me Alexa, an Uber or
Make me dinner.
Make me dinner, Cook me some dinner.
Cook you some dinner, Alexa. Alexa comes over. It's like, anything for you.
It's creepy. It's creepy. Like, I was in Hamilton on my aunt and uncle who are a bit older, right? And they have an Alexa for, like, Alexa play Christmas carols or whatnot.
Yeah.
And we're just having a conversation, and the Alexa goes, hey, or like, I can't understand that. Yeah, something like that. And they're just like, Alexa. And then you realize, like, it's listening to everything you're saying.
Right? Yeah.
But that's a whole other kind of conversation. But,
man, like, we cover a lot.
Yeah.
Tech.
Yeah.
Agencies. You know, back to office. Now we're looking at 2023. Memes, 2023,
culture,
man.
All that, 2023.
What is next for us?
That sounds like a weird year, 2023. Like, how are they going to do the glasses on New Year's?
I don't know. I hope those guys have started to think about it.
Man, 2020 was the perfect year, and we were in lockdown. The zero for the eyes.
Yeah.
I'm off topic here, but so what's to come in 2023 for the Mad Mix? I think one thing that's big, and like we've recorded the first part of this, is video.
Yeah,
we are finally able to do it with the 100th episode, which looked beautiful on video. I think we just need to keep pushing that and keep trying it. You know, it's trial and error. We'll see what works in terms of setting and editing and all that stuff. But
getting on TikTok.
We've seen
a lot of success because you on TikTok. It looks great.
Yes, sir.
We want to just get ourselves out there. I think that we learned a lot this year about, you know, our craft. I feel like we've gotten a lot more refined than what we were in the last few years. And obviously our experience is kind of helping guide that. But I also feel like, you know, what we realize is we can do these events. We can create content that people are gonna like. We're a part of bigger things. Like, you know, we're invited to the Black History Month stuff at Cassette. Like, those are the types of things that we want to do more and we're going to focus on. Absolutely.
More community involvement for sure. Guest episodes. Like, we didn't do any guest episodes in season four. But, like, we have people in mind. We've had those conversations. We know who we want. We have the vision for it. We just need to, execute.
Now it's time to execute.
And now is the time to execute for season five.
Season five, man.
Jesus.
Season five.
Oh, my God. Season five. So videos, guest episodes, events. Outside of the Mad Mix, before we, let's just close this episode on this. Like, do you have a New Year's resolution for yourself, for the Mad Mix, for whatever it is? What are you trying to accomplish?
You know what? I think next year for me is going to be a lot of traveling as well. Dope. A lot of like
got the travel bug.
Busy, but like I have a couple goals that I want to kind of set for next year. Like one, I would love to like get a promotion at work.
Okay.
Or like, you know, take another step in my career, which I want to work for. But then two, continue on my path of this professional maturity. Yeah, just being able to like make sure that I'm creating space, not, you know, taking work, you know, so seriously that it's affecting my life. I just want to, you know, keep working hard, keep creating space for myself, and then focus on, you know, long-term vision. So it's like not necessarily a New Year's resolution, but something that I'm going to upkeep for sure. For
the next, you know, keep it going, maintain, right? Like you don't have to have a brand new thing every single year. And what is a year really, right?
If you know, think about it. Literally. Like, how about you?
It's a construct. Yeah. More traveling for sure. I want to start the year off potentially Jamaica. We also want to do another Europe trip. It'd be dope to go to like West Africa, but like, let me keep this all just within a travel space. I want to travel more, you know? I got that travel bug and I need to extend it even further. Big goal. I want to fight. Ooh. And not in a fucking street fight.
No, like, I was gonna say, all right, let's park it. We can handle that now.
No, but I've been doing more of the boxing and going to these boxing showcase events. And I think next year I want to actually get in the ring and fuck somebody up. We'll see how that goes. But I'm starting to do sparring. We'll see what happens. More friendships,
more
experiences, more life. I'm gonna start my rap career. No, I'm joking. More for the Mad Mix as well. Like I'd love to do another event for sure and see what that looks like. More community involvement. Just living my life, saying yes, and trying new experiences is the type of energy I'm on now and forever.
Real shit, man.
That's season finale.
That's the season finale. Season four, episode 28.
We are out.
We are out. We're starting next year with a bang. Season five, loading.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year to everybody. Yeah, stay safe. Yeah. Enjoy your time. We'll see you.
Metro! Yeah. Drinking dope. Turn me to a superhero. Yeah. Hit that pill. Turn me.